gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of thanksgiving for all of the blessings that Thou hast brought to us through the fellowship of this convention. We feel that Thy presence has blessed us and guided us, has built us up and given us greater zeal. We thank Thee for all of the great and wonderful truths that Thou hast permitted us to see. We thank Thee for all the associations that Thou hast permitted us to have. We thank Thee for all, and for especially the great sacrifice of Thy beloved Son, that not only the Church, but all the world might have life. We pray Thy blessing upon all, wherever they may be, and especially where Thy people are gathered together in conventions, or where they may be gathered together in small groups, even in ones and twos. We give thanks in the name of Thy beloved Son, and in His name we ask these things. Amen.
I understand that the convention committee sent an invitation to Brother Baker to serve on the program, and that he did not expect to be able to be here. And then we were pleasantly surprised when we heard that he was going to be here. So arrangements have been made for us to hear him at this time. So we're glad to hear from Brother Baker.
Very happy, dear friends, to be here on this occasion. I regret that my inadvertence made it necessary for the convention committee to shuffle somewhat this portion of the program. We trust, however, that it is one of the all things in the providences of God which He makes to work together for good to them that love Him and are the called ones according to His purpose. My remarks in the brief interim of time allotted to me might be called vineyard re-echoes. You know, a re-echo is an echo that travels some distance. So if you pardon me, if I should be a little reminiscent, just charge it to the vagaries of the years as they creep so subtly upon us in the passage of time. I remember, but first let me say that probably it is my privilege tonight to speak on behalf of the old-timers in the truth, the pioneers in the harvest movement. There are several of them among us on this occasion. Our Brother Magnuson, our Brother Krebs, Brother Soper, whose memories run back over the period that my memory brings to mind. The period of a personal and a happy association to a greater or less extent with one whom I am certain will one day, not too far distant, be recognized as the most outstanding character, the most outstanding Christian leader of his or a number of preceding generations. I speak of Brother Russell. said of an old soldier, and of course it may also apply to a soldier of the cross, that an old soldier never dies. He just fades away. And this too may be a portion of our experiences in these important times. The first time that I met Pastor Russell was in the year 1904. Senator Baker and I had been in the truth for lo, these 52 years past. I had come in contact with it as a young man at the age between 15 and 16. So it is nearly 58 years since my first contact with the truth. But the Lord frequently leads us in devious paths, finds it necessary that we learn certain lessons before He entrusts us with so valuable a possession as a knowledge of that which we call present truth. In 1904, 50 years ago, Brother Russell made his first trip to the Pacific Coast. He came into the Northwest. He had an appointment at Portland, Oregon. We had been meeting with a small class destined over the course of years to grow to more than 300 at the peak of the Harvest Movement. We had been meeting with that class for about 2 years when Brother Russell made this visit. I was young then, much younger than today, and I remember that I boarded a southbound Southern Pacific train to meet the northbound train. In those days, Brother Russell traveled quite frequently in the coach. The labors had not grown as weighty, nor his service so widely demanded as in his later year. So I went through coach after coach, and I finally located Brother Russell. Brother Van Amberg was traveling with him, and Brother Russell was on the inside. I didn't know Brother Van Amberg, and besides, I wasn't looking for him. I was looking for Brother Russell. So I stopped, reached across Brother Van Amberg, and introduced myself to Brother Russell. He greeted me very cordially. And then, turning to Brother Van, whom he referred to as a long Dutch man with a long Dutch name, told him, "Brother Van, unfold." And Brother Van, with exaggerated gestures, unfolded. And I wasn't any taller then than I am today. And condescendingly reached down to shake hands. Well, we had a very pleasant trip from there on into port. And a very pleasant experience with Brother Russell at the first meeting. A year later, in 1905, Brother Russell again visited the coast. It was the year of the Lewis and Clark Centennial Exposition. And we had the first general convention in the Northwest in Portland during that exhibition. 3-day convention. And we made every possible arrangement to make it the convention a success. And I think that it was. We secured from the board of the Lewis and Clark Fair, persuaded them that they were allotting each Sunday to some prominent visiting minister, that they should set aside the Sunday that Brother Russell would be present as Pastor Russell Day. And they did. And on the strength of that, we secured the use of the First Methodist Church, the most aristocratic church in the city. And we paid the rent and secured the receipt. When I notified Brother Russell that we had the Methodist Church, he wrote back immediately and wanted to know if we were sure we had it. To be sure to get a receipt. Well, we had that. Well, you know, that for the first time, I began to suspect something. I began to be nervous, and some of the other brethren with me, in respect to the church. It turned out later that our nervousness was warranted. But Brother Russell came. When we went up to see that the church was ready, we found that it was locked. Brother Russell's topic, by the way, was to hell and back. And imagine a sermon like that, under that caption, being delivered in the First Methodist Church. It had never been heard of before, nor since. When I went up to find out just what the situation was, I found the church locked. I tried to get a hold of the janitor, and he couldn't be located. I tried to get a hold of some of the members of the board, and they could not be located. The audience was already arrived. By that time, some 50 or 60 people were on the steps waiting to get in. Well, I was desperate. So I began to prowl around the church, and I found a window I could jimmy. And I did. And I crawled in through the dark and the cobwebs, and I made my way up to the front of the church, and I pulled the bolt through the doors wide open, and the crowd streamed in. We had a packed house. Afterwards, I mentioned it to Brother Russell, and he chuckled, as only he could chuckle. He went up to Seattle to spend the day, and he came back, and he had an extra day in Portland. And I was on my vacation for the occasion. Sister Baker had taken the children and gone to Eastern Oregon. When about 7 o'clock in the morning, there came a knock at the door. And I got up and, well, we didn't have pajamas then. And I went to the door, and there was Brother Russell, Brother McMillan, and Brother Caroline. And Mac brushed me aside and said, "Willie, where's the kitchen? We haven't had breakfast." Brother Russell came in, Brother Caroline, and Mac got busy, and they fried the eggs and the bacon, made the coffee, and we had breakfast. Brother Russell said, "We're going out to the fair. You're my guest for the day." So on the way out, I was in the seat with Brother Russell. I had been reading everything enthusiastically, like a dry sponge absorbing the water of the truth. There's only one very thirsty could absorb it. So I've been reading much of the Old Testament scriptures, and I had discovered some marvelous types. One in particular, the dream of the butler and the baker, and Joseph's interpretation. So with all the enthusiasm of youth, I informed Brother Russell, and he said, "Why, I would like to hear it." Well, imagine me holding back before such an invitation. So I proceeded to outline the matter. Brother Russell listened intently with a twinkle in his eye. And when I was finished, He turned to me and said, "Brother Baker, I can only find two things wrong with that." Well, that was wonderful. There was more than two things in the explanation. And so I thought if only two things were wrong, why, that was a very good recommendation. So I asked Brother Russell what those two things were. And what do you think he said? He said the first one is your bump of imagination is too large. And the second one is your bump of cautiousness is too small. And that lesson has remained with me throughout all these years. I guess I do have an imagination. And I sort of like to speculate at times. And whenever I find myself out on the end of the limb, and that isn't too infrequently, I remember Brother Russell's words about my imagination and my cautiousness. The years rolled on. I remember in 1914 I received a telegram from Brother Russell saying he was on the coast, he was coming north, asked that I arranged to give him the day, that he had some matters he wanted to discuss, and not to inform the Reverend. He was on a private trip. Well, if you can keep anything away from the brethren, I'd like to see you do it. Then or since, he wasn't in the home more than 2 or 3 hours until the phone began to ring. And finally, Brother Russell said, "Well, let the friends know. They want to arrange for a meeting we will have tonight." So we got an undertaking parlor, and we had a meeting with Brother Russell that night. The matter under discussion was the photogram. It was just being organized and launched. I won't go into the details on that. Just to say that I never got into the photodrama work. When Brother Russell left, I understood that I would be. And I happened to mention to Sister Baker, however, that if I was a betting man, I'd wager that I wouldn't be in the photodrama work. He wanted to know why. I said, "Brother Russell has given me too much authority." And when he has an opportunity to think it over, he will realize that fact. And he did. I resigned from my job, and Brother Russell told me in a month I would hear from him. And the days went by, and I didn't hear, and grapevine reports began to circulate. Brother so-and-so was to have charge in such and such a district, and another brother in such and such a district. Finally, a week before the matter was to be turned over to me, I got a letter, and in it a route sheet with just a few lines from Brother Russell saying, "I am enclosing a route sheet from Portland to such and such an appointment. We trust as you enter the pilgrim service, it will prove a blessing to you and the brethren whom you serve." Never a word about the photogram. He never mentioned it to me to his dying day, and I never mentioned it to him. After all, he was the Lord's servant, not me. After all, it was his responsibility, not mine. And after all, what a blessing to be able to serve the brethren and the truth, and beyond and behind it all, the Lord, whatever capacity the Lord himself might arrange. You know, Brother Russell used to write what he called pastoral letters. And sometimes he would send these pastoral letters to the pilgrims. I remember one. It was a short one, and I've never forgotten it. And it read, "We regret that it again becomes necessary to call the attention of the pilgrim staff to the fact that there is too much preaching of Brother Russell and too little of Jesus Christ. I would recommend, brethren, that you preach Brother Russell less, better still, not at all, and Jesus Christ more. Brother Russell told me of his experience on one occasion with the pilgrim staff that he never put anyone into the pilgrim service, and he never put them out. That was the Lord's arrangement. When the providence of the Lord seemed to indicate that the brethren of ability had the time and opportunity, he took that as the Lord's will. Once they were in, he never put them out. He had some very trying experiences, so he said, in respect to that matter. Sometimes he wondered just what he should do. I would just relate one instance he recited, and I'll omit the name. There were several brethren along about 1909-10 who were finding Brother Russell in prophecy, in type, everywhere in the scriptures. This brother was going up and down in the land preaching Brother Russell, until Brother Russell reports reaching him became concerned, wondering just what he would do. It was at that time that some of the brethren thought that they saw a date in the pyramid, 1910. This brother was telling the brethren that he served watch April 1910. Something tragic, dramatic is going to happen. Well, Brother Russell told me he just about made up his mind to bring this brother into headquarters and discuss the situation with him. When he got a letter in late February or early March from the brother saying that he had met a sister down in Illinois, they had fallen in love and they're going to be married, and wanted to know if Brother Russell would give him a vacation. And Brother Russell, this was several years later, with a twinkle in his eye, told me, said, I wrote the brother, I wished him a long and happy marriage, told him how glad I was to give him a vacation, and the brother is still on that vacation. Thus, the Lord does move in strange ways to accomplish his purpose. I've got a lot of notes here. I haven't time to use them. But in closing, I do wish to read a quotation from the pen of our pastor, quite apropos to these times and events, as they were to the times and the events which led Brother Russell to write this matter. You'll find this in the reprints, January 1st, 1913. Many of our readers will be surprised to know that the glorious blessing of Messiah's kingdom will steal over the world gradually, coming through human challenge. Entirely unaware of being used of the Lord. Take that thought home with you tonight and in the days to come. May the Lord add his blessing.
I don't like change, Chef. I don't like to stop anyone, because I know you're thoroughly enjoying that. We know that we're very happy to have Brother Baker with us to speak even a short time with us. There's one little announcement I'd like to make, and then we won't burden you with any more for a while. First, I would like to have a vote, a show of hands, to those that would like to send our loving greetings to the Berlin, Germany convention between the 10th and 11th. All in favor of this raise your hands. All right, then again, the Fulton, Switzerland. The 18th of July, another convention. How about that? All right, thank you. Now let us close our service with the use of hymn number 87. And we're going to have a short intermission. And we'll start the next meeting at 8 o'clock. That'll be 10 minutes.